चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। वेरी गुड इवनिंग टू ऑल द डिस्टिंग्विश्ड गेस्ट्स लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन आई थैंक ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर असेंबलिंग टुडे। You will be happy to know that ISKCON Pune is envisioning the opening of a wonderful temple, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And I would like to share with you what exactly this vision is all about and how you could be a part of this and how society will benefit as a result of this most wonderful project unfolding. Most people have confusion about the validity of a temple, the need for a temple, and how it can help society in any way, shape or form. Unless one is convinced about the existence of a certain service, one cannot wholeheartedly be part of that. An intelligent, thinking individual needs to be convinced about how a particular service is valid and helps society in a certain way. So many of you may be convinced about the presence of various things in society. Many of you are convinced about the need for a school in society, because school is required to spread education. Many of you are definitely convinced about the need for a hospital, because a hospital provides medicines, treatment for the sick and the ailing, and various kinds of diseases can be eradicated through a hospital. Many of you may be convinced about the need for various kinds of food relief operations, because hunger is a big problem and people need to eat. Many of you may be convinced about the need for having clean, pure drinking water facility for spreading water amongst the poor and the needy in the villages, because it is one of the basic requirements. So like that, the list goes on and on about various important and basic necessities which human society needs. And many of us feel convinced and feel passionately from within the urge to help in these causes. Imagine the sight of a poor, sickly, ailing child who is experiencing the pangs of hunger, subjected to some kind of disease, and is about to die. How your heart reaches out to such a child, and how spontaneously you feel that we should do something to help such a child. Because you see the suffering which is visible and you want to do something to eradicate that suffering. Any thinking, noble, generous-minded individual would want to definitely share his prosperity with society in such a way that those who are underprivileged and who have been denied various kinds of opportunities get a chance to receive it. So with all of these in context, how does and where does a temple stand, and in what way it provides any kind of solution to society's problems? As I just mentioned, that when I speak of a hospital, immediately you feel convinced that yes, there is disease and one needs to help by eradicating disease. But as far as physical disease is concerned, the hospitals can take care by distributing medicines. But most importantly, according to WHO, World Health Organization, the biggest problem society is going to face in modern society is disease of the mind. The disease of the mind is such that all kinds of anxieties, stresses, various kinds of complications within the mind make a person completely helpless. There was a survey which was conducted all over the world, and this was called the Happiness Survey. And they came up with a conclusion that the number one happiest country in the world is Bangladesh, and number two happiest country in the world is India, and America ranked 43rd. So naturally, one may question, if prosperity, wealth, economic progress is assumed to be a parameter of well-being and satisfaction and happiness, then how is it that such an economically developed nation in the world ranks so far behind when it comes to net happiness ratings? The reason is that complete health, according to WHO, is a function of not just the body, but the body, mind and spirit. So therefore, all of us, we understand what we need to do when we have a stomach ache, a headache, a backache. We have various kinds of cramps in our muscles. We immediately run to the nearest available hospital. We immediately call a family doctor whom we are in touch with. But my question is, when there is a pain in the mind, when there is anxiety within the mind, when there is some kind of stress and unknown fear which is lurking within the deepest core of our hearts, where do we go? What do we do? And believe it or not, this is not a problem which can be easily denied or forgotten, because people all over the world are suffering the physical consequences of disease of the mind. I'll give you an example. According to surveys conducted in England, 60% of executives in London, they see nightmares at night where they see that they are killing their boss. So this may sound interesting, but what is the reason? The reason is all through the day they are undergoing so much of stress. They do not know how to cope with that stress, and this stress is being released at night in the form of dreams. In fact, if you come to Mumbai, one of the most famous scientific establishments all over India is BARC, Bhabha Atomic Research Center. Many of you must have heard of BARC, BARC. There is a colony attached to BARC, and that is known as Anushakti Nagar. And BARC is famous because it was one of the first place where Dr. Homi Bhabha and all of these great scientists set up their research laboratories for nuclear research. I used to do program in this colony many years back, And I went to do the program. They said that this Anushakti Nagar is also known as Atmahatya Nagar. And I said, why? And they said, because every month at least 2 suicides take place here. And they showed me, this is the place where Homi Baba used to sit, this is the first nuclear reactor, and this is the building from which people jump. So that was also a landmark in that colony. So I said, what is the reason? There are so many intelligent, hard-working people. And they said, when there are difficulties and problems which they experience, with all the intelligence at their disposal, they are not able to come with a solution. They have very high EQ, IQ, but very low EQ. They do not know how to deal with emotional turbulences. They do not know how to deal with problems related to stress and anxiety. And because they are highly intelligent, highly successful, they have got pampered to solving problems on paper. So when a person is very intelligent and very expert at solving problems on paper, he thinks any problem in life can be solved. But real life problems are much more complex and more difficult to understand and solve than theoretical problems on paper. And therefore many times people with high educational qualification, when they experience problematic situations in life, like for example they are expecting a certain promotion, they are expecting a certain economic benefit, they are expecting a relationship to go in a certain way, then their expectations are so high that when things do not turn out according to their expectation, their mind really goes into a toss. And the mind becomes completely infected with all kinds of negative emotions. So just like if you eat all kinds of unhealthy foods, an unhealthy combination of foodstuffs in the stomach creates churning of the stomach. And the churning of the stomach forces you to see the reality of all kinds of difficulties as a result of that, and you are forced to run to the hospital. The result of a bad stomach you cannot stop. Similarly, when we experience all kinds of turbulent situations in life, our mind gets churned. So when the stomach is churned, at least you know, I have to go to this doctor, take this pill, have this medicine, and there is some hope. You also know, okay, I can take some curd or so and so diet, at least some basic understanding is there. But when the mind gets churned, most people don't know what to do, how to deal, and how to understand this in the first place. Therefore, just as there are hospitals which cater to the problems related to the body, we need hospitals which deal with problems of the mind. The government is patronizing hospitals for the body, but there is no such patronization available for hospitals which deal with problems of the mind, because most people don't even understand what the mind is. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a book which is exclusively dedicated to understanding the nature and the working of the mind and problems related to the mind. And thus, any institution, a place where there are people available who can deal with problems related to the mind is just like a hospital which deals with patients dealing with problems of the mind. So a temple such as this is a place where you have deities, where you have Gita, where you have Kirtan, where you have Prasad. So in common language, someone may say this is a place of Hindu worship. Not wrong. But more correct is, this is a place where there is distribution of medicine to deal with the sick and the troubled mind. And that is Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Naam, Krishna Katha and Krishna Prasad. Just like in a hospital, there are beds, there are doctors, there is medicine and there is diet. Like that in a temple, there are doctors, there is medicine and there is diet. Medicine is holy name, diet is Krishna Prasad, and the doctors are the various devotees who are well versed in the science of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the bona fide textbook which deals with how the diseases of the mind can be cured. Therefore, any person who walks into a temple can find succor and relief from the ailments dealing with the mind. And thus he understands, yes, this is the reason I am suffering. And then as soon as he comes in contact with the Hare Krishna mantra, immediately his transformation begins. His life changes. And he starts experiencing real happiness, real joy. And all over the world, we have so many cases like this. I'll tell you a true story of a drug addict in Los Angeles. He was a drug peddler. He had committed 12 murders and the police was behind him. The police was chasing him and he was running and running and running. And one day he saw the devotees doing Harinam Sankirtan on the street. So the devotees not only distribute medicine in the temple, they also go out and distribute medicine of the holy name outside. So when the kirtan was going on, this drug peddler came and took shelter in the midst of all of these devotees. So the police could not see. And then he came along with the devotees back to the temple. And this drug peddler saw what are the facilities available in this temple. And he thought, this looks like an excellent place to hide. The police will never come here. And then he saw the devotees, they were all having shaved heads. He thought, this is a great hairstyle. Police will never catch me like this. So he shaved up, changed his dress. And then he saw the devotees were chanting Hare Krishna on beads in bead bag. So he thought, okay, I don't have to chant because I have not come here to become devotee. I have come to hide. But I will just put the bag in my hand and shake it so that nobody will know and everyone will think I am chanting Hare Krishna. So he used to sit in the morning and just shake his hand and keep his eyes closed, shake for some time and go back and sleep. So this was his original plan of staying in the temple and just hiding. But gradually, because of the ambience of the temple, his mind started transforming. And then he decided, let me try chanting Hare Krishna for real. So he started chanting. Gradually his mind transformed further, and at the end of 1 year, he approached the temple president and said, I have to confess something. And the president said, what? He said, I am not a devotee. I have not come to become a devotee. I am just a drug peddler. I am a convict, I am a murderer, there are 12 murders in my name, the police is behind me. And I came to take shelter of this temple. The president said, thank you very much for informing us at least now. If the police had caught us and he had seen that you are being held here, the whole temple would have been closed. So you please go immediately and surrender to the police. So this man goes in the same Hare Krishna clothes to the police station. And the police is bewildered and they can't recognize who this is. And he said, I have come to surrender myself. He said, but who are you? And he said, I am so and so, remember? You had so many cases, and the Los Angeles police was against me. You were trying to catch me. And then they took out their file and saw the photo. The photo was similar, hairstyle looked different. They said, yes, you are the same man, and we have been searching for you. The case was reopened. He was brought in front of the judge. The judge looked at him, wearing all these clothes and tilak and everything, and he said, hey, you are supposed to be a murderer, a drug peddler. What is all this? And he said, now I have changed. Now I am staying in the temple. I get up in the morning and I chant Hare Krishna. And then I go out and distribute books. I distribute free prasadam. So practically my whole lifestyle has changed. So the judge thought for some time, heard about him, and then declared, the case is dismissed. Release this fellow. And the police got up and started protesting, you can't do this. He's a very noted criminal. How can you release him? The judge said, just see, voluntarily on his own, he is getting up at 3:30 in the morning and taking cold water bath. This is worse than jail life. On his own he has accepted jail life, then at least save some state money. Let him stay in that jail only. And on top of that, his character has changed. Automatically he has transformed himself, and now he is doing so much good for society. So therefore the police recognized this, the judge recognized this, that here is a place where a person in contact with the medicine of the holy name, the disease of his mind was eradicated and character was transformed. Therefore, dear ladies and gentlemen, all of us appreciate the importance of a hospital. Hospital is a place where sick people are treated. I would put a temple also, a temple like ISKCON temple like here, on the same platform as a hospital. But here is a hospital to deal with problems of the mind, sickness of the mind. We have bona fide medicine, effective medicine, and we have qualified doctors. And they are doing a great job. And you'll be happy to know that in the last 10 years, this particular branch of this hospital has treated hundreds and thousands of sick patients. Hundreds and thousands of people's lives are testimony of the wonderful work which has been done by this group here. And therefore, just as when the hospital becomes completely filled up, we need to expand the facility. So now we have the problem that this hospital is running full bed. All beds are full, and still more are coming, and they are overflowing. And therefore we need to expand the facility. And in this, there is a plan to create a new facility, a new project, with a bigger place where hundreds and thousands of more people can get treated and can get connected. So His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has set up temples like this all over the world to treat patients who are mentally sick, spiritually ignorant, and help them come back to their normal health. And here in Pune city, Srila Prabhupada's mission is represented by this ISKCON temple, Sri Sri Radha Gunjibihari temple. Under the dynamic leadership of His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, this temple or a spiritual hospital has grown from strength to strength, from a handful of devotees to a full-fledged team of more than 85 highly qualified spiritual doctors who are in attendance within this hospital, and at least 1,000 more who are outside as part of the congregation. And we invite all of you to join this most wonderful, glorious effort in spreading this medicine of the holy name. And you can also become part of this relief operation of helping society regain its sanity. which is also a very important service. Physical fitness and mental fitness. Much is spoken about physical fitness, very less about mental fitness. Here is a group which deals with mental illness and mental fitness, and we offer you the chance to be a part of this glorious mission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I now request Radhesham Prabhu.
I request His Grace Bal Govind Prabhu to introduce our next speaker, Radhesham Prabhu, and thank His Grace Gaurang Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Gaurang Prabhu, for your wonderful presentation. It was really a pleasure to hear from him, especially he has come down.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvan Meelitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam.
Hare Krishna, we welcome all of you this evening for this first program on Lotus Voices. I got this word Lotus Voices from one of our famous songs in which we have a line, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Padma Vakya means Lotus Voices. Why the voice coming from the mouth of Guru is called as a Lotus Voice? Lotus is the most softest of the flowers, and often the lotus is used to indicate the feet of the Lord. Lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus eyes of the Lord. Like that. And also the scriptures are full of wisdom which can awaken us to the reality. Because in the modern days there is no dearth of information. In fact, we can say we all are drowning in a ocean of information, but thirsty for a drop of wisdom. But that wisdom is abundantly, profusely available in the Vedic scriptures. So that is why these lotus voices, if they enter our ears, enter our heart, it can awaken our hearts. Heart is also sometimes compared to a lotus, which gets awakened by hearing the pure message of the Vedas. This evening, I was planning to throw some light on a topic that is of interest to all of us. In the Vedic literatures, there are two Sanskrit words that are used. Nishreyas and Abhyudai. Nishreyas means fulfillment. Abhyudai means accomplishment or achievement. Often people are chasing after achieving great things in life, isn't it? People want to accomplish great things in life. They want to have great ambitions in life. Whether can we say such achievements are equivalent to fulfillment of the heart is a question mark. In this connection, a funny story comes to my mind. Once a handsome young gentleman, he went to a doctor, psychiatrist, and he said, "Sir, the last so many months I have been undergoing depression." And he looked very morose also. "Please tell me give me some medicine, tell me some idea by which I can get out of this depression." Because in the modern times depression is very common everywhere. So the doctor looked at this guy and he said, "He's such a young boy, handsome boy, why should he undergo depression?" He said, "Let me give you an idea." He said, "Very nearby there's a circus going on. Why don't you go to the circus and have some fun by seeing the clown? In a circus, you know, clown cracks jokes and people have good fun." So he said, go one evening and you will have a change. So this man tearfully acknowledged, sir, I am the same clown. So doctor was taken aback. Just as you heard about the predicament of this clown, who was making the whole world laugh, but who himself was undergoing depression within. This is the plight of an average modern man in the society today. There are many things which we do in our life to impress other people. Seldom do they satisfy our inner core of our hearts. Like you see, Dhritarashtra in Mahabharata, we hear, he was never supposed to be the king. Probably you might be aware. Who was the king? Pandu was the king. And then Pandu liked life in the forest, so he would go and often spend time in the forest. During which time Dhritarashtra was temporarily posted as a king. But Dhritarashtra always was craving for achieving the kingdom, although he was a blind man. Of course, the Pandu's children, the Pandavas, were supposed to become the kings, but they were driven out later. You know the story. Now, after the fratricidal world war of Kurukshetra, Vidura asked a very sensible question to Dhritarashtra. He asked him, what did this kingdom offer you? Anything other than misery? Tell me. He said, before you achieved the kingdom, you were craving for it, hankering for it. And then when you obtained it and you became the king, you were always in fear of losing the kingdom. And now that in the war you have lost the kingdom, you are lamenting. When you didn't have, you were craving for it. When you had, you were having fear of losing it. Now that you lost it, you are lamenting. Shoka, moha, bhaya. All the three are afflicting you. So, what is the use of this accomplishment of being the king of the kingdom? That was the question asked by Vidura. So in this world, we all crave for getting so many things and we are chasing after so many things of the world. Not necessarily to satisfy our heart, but to impress other people. I heard a very humorous saying. We spend a lot of wealth that we have not earned for purchasing things that we do not need, for impressing the people that we do not like. What does it mean? It says we try to spend the money we have not earned. That is a credit card. You have not yet earned the money, but you have the credit card to spend the money. You spend the money that you have not earned. And you try to buy things that you don't need many times. For example, there are some people who buy a very nice fine car. But then as soon as they come to know that there is a new model which has come in the showroom, even after a couple of years of using the car, you know, they don't feel like using the old car. Now they want a new one. So they place the order, they go to the shop to fetch the car. By the time they get the car out of the shop, they find that the new model has come inside. So the model which they ordered becomes a old model. Similarly, you know, this blonde's hair dye, that's becoming famous in India also. They say, you know, the hairstyle, the hair that will make heads turn towards you. That's the kind of advertisement they give. You know, people have black hair, but nowadays they are selling this blonde's hair dye so that you can have brownish type of hair so that all people can look towards you. Now everyone is mad after this blonde's hair now. Like in my days when I was a schoolboy, you know, once I demanded my father that I want a bell bottom. He asked me, what is this bell bottom? Then I showed my leg and I told him that, you know, it should be double this. If my foot is this much, it should be this much. So my father said, you are crazy or what? Why do you need such a big bottom of your pant? I said, no, this is a fashion now. Everyone is wearing it. So nowadays I laugh at the very thought of it. Do any of you wear bell bottom like that now? Which is like elephant's leg? You'll be ridiculed. So the fashions keep changing. But in order to impress other people, you will see that people are ready to do anything, go to any extent. That is actually called as Abhyudaya, which means you want accomplishment without having the concern for whether it is satisfying your inner core of the heart or not. It is just for impressing others. And most often we find it doesn't inspire our hearts, it doesn't satisfy our hearts. So, there is a gap between these two things, the accomplishment and fulfillment. How can this gap be bridged? Or in other words, why at all there is a gap? Is it wrong in our life to want to accomplish great things? Or why can't the great things satisfy our heart? So this question certainly should be asked. Like you see, great countries, the first world countries like America, Japan, they are called as economic giants. And even India is trying to become a superpower in the world by 2020, and they want to become big according to what they consider as big. Generally, people consider something as big when they have more money. But if you carefully analyze America, even with all its wealth, is not able to give people the inner fulfillment. That is greatly lacking. People have money, people have luxuries, they have wealth, they have sensual power, they have possessions, they have positions, they have prestige, they have the finest cars, they have the best of the equipments, everything they have, except that peace of mind. So they are looking for one piece of peace of mind. Why is that lacking? Here comes the scriptures, the Shastra, which give explanation to this question. The Shastra say that wealth that is born of non-yajna can never satisfy you. What is the meaning of non-yajna? If somehow or other, let me give the Vedic explanation. Vedas say, if you do dharma, you'll get artha. If you have artha, you can enjoy kama. And after enjoying kama, you get frustrated, then you go for moksha. So we have dharma, artha, kama and moksha. These are the four purusharthas. I am sure many of you may be familiar with these four things. Now people would do dharma in the Vedic times to get artha, to earn wealth. And then by that wealth, they would earn happiness also, enjoyment. Now modern man is saying, what is the need of dharma? What is the need of God? We will achieve all our pleasures without having to give and take with God. So we have our own formula of creating electronic gadgets and facilities and luxuries by which modern man says, scientists are saying, we will provide you enjoyment. Come. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to temple. You don't need God. We have money and we have facilities. Bas. God is for poor people. We don't need God. That's their understanding. Now, does it work like that? Now, Americans have everything, as I told you. They have wealth, they have all the facilities, but they are not happy. Why? That is why the Shastras say, because it is a wealth not earned by dharma. The wealth that is earned by dharma only can satisfy you. Otherwise not. That's the Vedic version. Now, if you compare the Western countries to our East, India. India has been a land of the Vedas. It's called as a Punya Bhumi. The word Bharata means, Bha means Prakash, Rata means engaged. Bharat means those people who are engaged always in the pursuit of God consciousness or self-realization. They are the Bharatvasis. In fact, even scientists understand, like one of the scientists who has written a book called as Connecting with the spiritual quotient. There is a book. So he says in his book that IQ is generally with the computers. Computers have intelligence quotient and animals have emotional quotient. But it is only the human beings who have a spiritual quotient, he says. What is the meaning of this? For example, intelligence quotient means to do with mathematics, to do with linguistics, to do with calculations and all that. And when you talk of emotional quotient, to be sensitive to others' feelings. to be able to express one's feelings and to be sensitive to the other's feelings. That is emotional quotient. But spiritual quotient means, the job that I am doing, is it offering me fulfillment? Am I able to exchange loving relationships with others? What is the purpose for which I am living in this world? These questions are answered for a person with a high spiritual quotient. Because he can question the very action that he is performing. Am I in the right direction? He can question the relationship that he has, the joy that he experiences, the fulfillment that he gets. That can be questioned only by one with a high spiritual quotient. So, Bharatvasi means one who is a person who is engaged in such a pursuit of spirituality. Like in our country, somehow it's there in the blood of all the people. Even a farmer knows, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. There is something called karma, that people are aware. The laws of karma are very subtle, people know. Similarly, going to temple, offering worship to God, and bowing down to God, circumambulating the temple, some kind of ritual, performance of ritual, people know it in India. Many people do it also. When your ritual is connected with the spirit, it becomes spiritual. Then it is spiritual. Without the spirit, ritual alone is not appreciated so much, because that's very empty and superficial. Now, how does a spiritualist get that fulfillment? That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, when Lord Krishna was leaving Hastinapur after the Kurukshetra war was over and Pandavas were coronated as the kings of the world, headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, at that time, Lord Krishna boarded his chariot and was about to leave. At that time, Kunti Maharani came running to Krishna and said, "My dear Lord Krishna, are you going to leave us and go away?" In fact, she said, "We wouldn't mind having difficulties as long as you are with us. Because we know whenever there are difficulties, you are there to protect and save us. Now that all difficulties are over, you have made my son the king and now you are going away. Please do not go away, stay with us." She was pleading him. And she said, "My dear Krishna, your glance is so powerful. Simply by your glance I am seeing that the nature is blooming with flowers, there are lushy green forests, the rains are coming in proper time, and the ocean is full of pearls and jewels, and the mountain is full of minerals, the earth is offering abundant grains and everything." She said, "Tavavikshitaihi, it's only because of your glance, Krishna. If you go away, as soon as your glance is gone, everything will dry up here. So please stay with us," she said. So here, Kunti Maharani is teaching us the secret of success in life, or happiness in life. Unless the Lord smiles, the nature will not smile. Unless we make the Lord smile, we cannot expect the nature to smile. How can we make the Lord smile? Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was the king, it is said he completely took shelter of Lord Krishna. He took shelter of three things. Vipra dharma chitashraya. Vipra means he took shelter of the devotees of God. He took shelter of dharma. He took shelter of achyuta. Achyuta is Lord Krishna. So these three things he took shelter. And by taking shelter of these devotees of God and dharma, by that what happened as a result? It is said all the nature was cooperating with him. The rains were pouring at appropriate times. Like for example, in the night when the people would go to sleep, the rains would start. Morning they would get up, they would see the fields filled with water everywhere. Nowadays, you know, you don't get the rains so often. And even if the rains come, as soon as you are going to leave for the office, the rain starts. And people are cursing the rain. Even if you hold an umbrella, it makes your legs wet. And then as soon as you reach the office, the rain stops. Again, when you are leaving in the evening at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, again the rain starts. So, even the rains are not cooperating with the man in the modern times. Even if they come very occasionally. And it is said, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's time, all the natural agents were paying their taxes to the king in the form of rains, in the form of grains, in the form of fruits and flowers and, you know, in the form of pearls and jewels and minerals and everything. They were all flourishing. And the secret of Yudhishthira Maharaja's success was that he was serving the Lord. He was obedient to the laws of God. So the Lord was very pleased. When Lord was pleased, when the Lord smiles, Yasmin Tushtam, Jagat Tushtam, it is said. When Lord is pleased, then everything flourishes. Now, what is the connection of God and the nature? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Adhyakshena Prakritihi, he says. This Prakriti is working under my Adhyakshata, Krishna is saying. Adhyakshata comes from the word Adi Aksha. Adi means above. Aksha means I. Like looking from the above and looking down like this. So Lord is looking down at the nature and controlling all the nature. And Lord is saying that. How? Like you see how nature functions so powerfully. Madhvayat vati vatoyam suryastapati madhvayat varshati yendra dahati agnir mrityuscharati madhvayat. God is saying, out of fear for me, the sun is rising in the morning every day. Have you ever seen one day that the sun was a bit lazy to get up in the morning? Till date? You will never find the sun not rising in the morning, any time. And he says, the wind is blowing out of fear for me. The Indra is showering rains out of fear for me. And he says, the death is taking its toll out of fear for me. The Lord is saying. So it's not that everyone is trembling in front of the Lord. That is not the meaning. The meaning is, all the devatas love the Lord so much that they don't want to displease him in any way. So they are very fearful not to displease him. So they very promptly execute their duties. But when will they execute their duties? Only when people follow the laws of God and become obedient to God by studying the scriptures. Then everything will flourish. Today modern man is faced with challenges like, for example, there is a lack of food. No, why should there be a lack of food? There is so much of surface of the earth available for growing more. Why there is a lack of food supply? What is the problem? In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is explanation. Bhumi is speaking to King Prithu. She says that I have lot of grains with me inside the earth, but I will not give it out, she says. You know why? Because she said all over the globe, the citizens have become all thieves and rogues. They are taking the grains and eating themselves and not offering to Lord Vishnu as a yajna, as a sacrifice. And they are simply looting other people's property. They want to plunder other men's wives. They don't want to follow the laws of God. Then why should I give my rich treasures for such people who have become burden on me? She's saying. So I will not give. Then King Prithu assures her that I will completely eradicate Adharma on the surface of the earth. And then she starts giving all the facilities. Like that. Like modern man has now a lot of money, but he has no prosperity. Like I remember when I was a small boy, I used to eat in a silver plate. But now we are all eating in a paper plate. Isn't it? You know, women would be wearing, like my mother, I have seen her wearing gold and silver ornaments, you know, in her ears and nose and head and her neck and necklaces and all that. Now you find most of the people wearing plastic ornaments. Women are wearing plastic ornaments, you see that. You know, people would hardly go any long distance to go for jobs. You know, the field would be right behind the home. But today people travel hundreds of miles to go for a job. And people are gulping down fast food. And rushing here and there, you see that. So the prosperity is missing in the modern times. The fulfillment is missing. Although there is some kind of achievement in the form of paper, money. What will you do with the paper? In World War II, at the time, the currency notes became useless. Even if you had a bucket of currency notes, it was of no use during such a war. It's only paper. So, in this way, I was giving you the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. In the same manner, every individual in the society is supposed to follow such an ideal king and work for the satisfaction of Lord. Without giving pleasure to the Lord, there is no possibility of happiness in our life. In fact, the meaning of yajna, what is the meaning of yajna? Yajna means acting in harmony with God. That is yajna. Very simple definition. Harmonizing our lives with God. You see, we are taking so many things, like we are taking electricity now. We have to pay for the MSEB, isn't it? Now Lord has arranged the sun to give us light. What are we paying him? We are drinking water. If you have to get a Bisleri bottle, you have to pay for it. We are taking gallons of water from the nature, from God. God's nature. It is not some blind nature. It's God's nature. What are we paying him in return? Now we are taking so many grains from the nature, we are getting fruits, all these things. What are we paying him in return? So, the Shastras teach how by the first step, understanding the scriptures, we have to be educated in the knowledge of the scriptures, how to become truly happy. If you are connected to God, then we are happy, otherwise not. Like, take for example my hand now. My hand can do so many activities. The hand can count. If some object falls on me, I can stop it with my hand. Or if somebody tries to attack me, I can punch them on the nose. I can defend myself. So I can do so many activities with the hand. But imagine if I cut off this hand and keep it on a table. What is the use of that cut off hand? Can it do anything? It will not have any potency. But connected to the body, the hand has so much potency. Similarly, if all the living beings who are parts of God, they don't connect themselves to God and act in God consciousness, they can never have the potency, they can never have cheerfulness, they can never have fulfillment, they can never have happiness. That's the water. Also, as I told you, we are all part and parcel of God. We are small children, tiny. God is the whole and we are the part. The duty of the part is to serve the whole. Like, you know, if you take a laddu in the hand and try to, if the hand tries to enjoy the laddu, it cannot enjoy. But if the hand gives the laddu to the stomach, then the hand gets nourishment also. Isn't it? It's a very simple formula. Can the hand enjoy separately? It cannot enjoy. So the modern man wants to pluck out God from the society and wants to enjoy separate from God. So he has money, he has mobile, he has TV, he has washing machine, he has practically everything, but no happiness. It's like a fish out of water, surrounded by all kinds of facilities. The fish can never be happy. That's the condition of modern man today. So, the solution is very simple. The scriptures say, just include God in your life. That's all. So we used to have a very famous statement, no God, no peace. No God, then you can know what is peace. So first, no God is N-O-G-O-D, N-O-P-E-S-E. No God is K-N-O-W-G-O-D, K-N-O-W-P-E-S-E. If you know God, you can know really peace. Then the peace is possible. So, knowing God and acting according to the laws of God, instructions of God in the scriptures, that's actually the prerogative of every human being. It's very easy. It's very much possible. So what is a temple? A temple is a place which is like a university where one is educated about God. What is God and how to love God, how to serve Him? Because our life in this world is only a temporary journey. It's like a journey between, you know, Pune to Bombay or something like that. Like sometimes you go for a journey 6 hours or 8 hours. Our life is like an 80 years journey. And in every journey you have to get a ticket, isn't it? Like in a journey, if you are going in Rajdhani Express, you get a AC coach. So you can go in air condition. Similarly, some of us are born very wealthy, in well-to-do families. Sometimes you have to go in a PMT bus or ST bus. You sit in the bus and the roads are bad. Similarly, you know, sometimes in our life our circumstances are not so good. Sometimes our body is not very healthy. So it's like traveling in a PMT bus. But all of us are souls wandering in this world in a journey. And our current situation is based on our past activities. And we are destined to have a beautiful body or ugly body, intelligent or unintelligent, poor or rich, all these differences. But having obtained these things, how are you going to utilize this life that is in your hands, in every one of our hands? We have that. So, not only we need achievements in our life, but we also need fulfillment. Achievements are for impressing other people, but the fulfillment will come only by connecting oneself to God. Arjuna, for example, if you see Krishna Arjuna in the chariot, you have seen that picture of Krishna and Arjuna in the chariot. That's a very beautiful illustration. Arjuna, he was a very competent warrior. You know, he was very great in archery. Not only Arjuna, all five Pandavas. You take Yudhishthira, he was famous for javelin throwing. Arjuna, he was famous for archery. Bhima, he was famous for mace fighting. And Nakula, Sahadev, they are famous for swat fighting. They were famous means they were number one in the world. They were very famous. But still they knew that such competence alone is not enough. Because without the mercy of God, all our competence is null and void. They knew that. Our competence is like string of zeros. But if you put one in front of the zero, then all the zeros assume value. Otherwise they have no value. For example, if I am a boxer, like you know this famous boxer Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson said, I will always be the winner in this world. I will be champion forever. This he declared some years ago. But later on as he was growing old, he also got weaker. And he tried to do boxing, but he was knocked off in many occasions. Later on he came to grips with understanding that I cannot be a champion forever. He realized it. Because the Shakti is not in our hands. When God wants to empower us and make us very powerful, He can make us. When He wants to withdraw the power, He can withdraw the power. So He is ultimate controller. So, it's a very simple formula in our life to include God. Srila Prabhupada started these ISKCON temples all over the world to enlighten people in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and to teach people what is karma and what is this world we are living in, what is spiritual world, how we can see God in every walk of our life, how we can teach our children scientifically about the presence of God, about the role of God in our life, and how to learn to love God and love everyone in this world. How not to live an empty life of impressing others with a heart full of emptiness. Not living a life like that, but to live a cheerful life. Actually, your inside and outside can become one when your heart is cheerful, when it is happy. And that is possible only by connecting to God. In this day and age, the most easiest method to get linked to God is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you have to just do japam like this, chanting. This is the method. If you just chant like this 108 times a day, that takes you just 12 minutes. Just see, your life will not be the same. Then we can experience what is fulfillment in the heart. We can really experience for ourselves. Because happiness does not come from things outside of you. Happiness is already within you. You just have to uncover it. That's why our motto of voice is rekindling wisdom, reviving love. So we rekindle wisdom through education programs and we revive that love through the chanting of the holy name. So I thank you all very much for coming for this first program of Lotus Voices, which is the message of the Vedic sound vibration. And we are planning to have this kind of program once in a month, if all of you like to come. And every time we will be inviting many eminent speakers who will be addressing all of you. And that will be a great opportunity for you. I know that many of you may be very busy in your own professions. But if you take out a little bit of time to come once in a month to temple and join this program, that will be very enlightening and enlivening experience. And you can also teach your children what you are learning here. The new temple that we are going to come up in Pune, in Kathraj, that's going to be a big project. We will have Balaji temple, we will have Radha Vrindavan Chandra temple, and there will be seminar halls, there will be Dharma show theatres, and there will be auditoriums. There will be a beautiful big pond. There are going to be many wonderful things there. The whole idea of the temple is to make it like a university where thousands and thousands of Puneites and all over Maharashtra and India people can come and learn this wonderful knowledge. Because in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada started the society in such a way that worldwide many people from all over the world have taken it. It's not a Indian society, it's an international society. People from all countries have taken it up very seriously. And all of you, citizens of Pune, you all can take part in this project by coming together and learning about chanting the holy name. There are many books available. There is darshan, there is prasadam. And please stay connected like this to the temple. And I am very sure your life will be successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.